Testament there. We're going to look at a couple of things, a particular detail from the first few verses of the book of Ruth tonight, just to make a few points and give us something to think about. As I was recently reading through the book of Ruth, and I came to something that was said about Ruth in chapter 1 and verse 18, and I thought it was a good thing to think about, and it'd be a good thing for us to think about on the cusp of a new year here, the idea that Ruth is described in Ruth chapter 1 and verse 18 as determined to go. Now I want to think about that idea, being determined to go. As far as setting the story up there, I can't do any better than just read the first six verses of Ruth chapter 1. So if you'd like to read along with me. It says, "In the days when the judges ruled, there was a famine in the land, and a man of Bethlehem in Judah went to sojourn in the country of Moab, he and his wife and his two sons. The name of the man was Elimelech, and the name of his wife Naomi. And the name of his two sons were Mahlon and Chilion. They were Ephrathites from Bethlehem in Judah. They went into the country of Moab and remained there. But Elimelech, the husband of Naomi, died, and she was left with her two sons. These took Moabite wives. The name of one was Orpah." That's not Oprah. Look real close there. "The name of one was Orpah, and the other Ruth. They lived there about 10 years. And both Mahlon and Chilion died, so that the woman was left without her two sons and her husband. Then she arose with her daughters-in-law to return from the country of Moab, for she had heard in the fields of Moab that the Lord had visited his people and given them food." So those six verses very well set the story we're talking about. The picture on the slide behind me shows Ruth and Naomi setting out on the trip that's discussed there in verse 6 as she set out to go. But I want us to make just a few observations here in the verses leading up to verse 18 where the title comes from. And I want you to notice that very early here in the book, Naomi's reasoning is based on this. The Lord has visited his people. And I want you just to think about that idea of the Lord having his people, his covenant people. Now certainly one of the enduring stories for the story of Ruth was that one not born one of his people, a Moabitess through faith could become one of his people. But just the idea of knowing God has a special relationship, God has a covenant people that we can be not them, but his people. And that God takes special care for his people. What a powerful idea that is for us. Really, it's that distinction between others and his people that starts the story that we know here in the book of Ruth. But they set out to make that trip back. We'll pick a story up there in verse 7. "So she set out from the place where she was with her two daughters-in-law, and they went on the way to return to the land of Judah. But Naomi said to her two daughters-in-law, 'Go, return each of you to her mother's house. May the Lord deal kindly with you as you have dealt with the dead and with me. The Lord grant that you may find rest, each one of you in the house of her husband.' Then she kissed them, and they lifted up their voices and wept." So Naomi begins this journey back, and her two daughters-in-law begin with her. Then it seems she has a change of heart, that she stops and looks at these two young ladies and tries to convince them to go back. But in her argumentation, if you will, to try to convince them to go back, I want you to know that Naomi teaches us a couple other important ideas here. That it is the Lord that is the source of kindness and rest. You see what she says to these two young ladies in verse 8 as it deals. She says, "May the Lord deal kindly with you." In verse 9, "that the Lord grant that you may find rest." So Naomi is parting ways with these two young ladies, but she wishes them well. And she knows that they'll find those things in the Lord. And we see their response there, picking up in verse 10. "And they said to her, 'No, we will return with you and to your people.' But Naomi said, 'Turn back, my daughters. Why will you go with me? Have I yet sons in my womb that may become your husbands? Turn back, my daughters. Go your way, for I am too old to have a husband. If I should say I have hope, even if I should have a husband this night and should bear sons, would you therefore wait till they were grown? Would you therefore refrain from marrying? No, my daughters, for it is exceedingly bitter to me for your sake that the hand of the Lord has gone out against me." And as these girls are insistent, no, we want to go with you, but then Naomi starts to convince them. And let's be honest, she makes some pretty compelling arguments. Says some things that, as you look around, would be somewhat convincing. And I think that is a lesson in and of itself, because in this moment, Naomi has started thinking on the horizontal. Started looking around at life circumstances and quit looking in the vertical. Maybe quit thinking about God. I think a lesson for us is this. Life provides reasons to turn back. And I think it's being very nice of me to use the word reasons. Really what they are is excuses. Reasons gives way too much credit for things that sometimes we might look around in this world and problems of this world and relationships in this world and issues in this world, and we would use those for reasons to turn back, to not follow God, to not be determined to go forward with God and join His people. But if you look for them, life will provide them. Life will give you excuses. Life will give you reasons that those people disappoint you. Or something doesn't come up to your standard. And if you want to turn back, as Naomi provides here an example, life will give us reasons. I think it's compelling there at the very end of verse 13. Did you see that Naomi really is in a low place in her life? In fact, she says it this way, verse 13 ends, "The hand of the Lord has gone out against me." And as we are sympathetic to Naomi and what life has dealt her here, particularly in the last little bit, it seems like, it's one of those moments where you think Naomi really does feel forsaken. But it would be an incomplete picture if we left this our little study of Ruth tonight and thinking that's where she stayed. I want you to look over at chapter 2 and verse 20 just to understand she doesn't stay that way. In chapter 2 and verse 20, once it's been conveyed to her that Boaz has met Ruth and been kind to Ruth, here's what she says to her daughter-in-law. "And Naomi said to her daughter-in-law, 'May he be blessed by the Lord, whose kindness has not forsaken the living or the dead.'" But as we learn from Naomi here, that life does sometimes provide reasons to turn back. We're also reminded in this story, some will turn back. Read verses 14 and 15 with me. "Then they lifted up their voices and wept again, and Orpah kissed her mother-in-law, but Ruth clung to her." And there's really some ideas conveyed there that the language doesn't make as clear as it should. What the writer's really saying is Orpah kissed her mother-in-law goodbye, and Ruth clung to her because she wasn't going anywhere. Verse 15, "And she said," Naomi said, "'See, your sister-in-law has gone back to her people and to her gods. Return to your sister-in-law.'" And it's a hard lesson to learn sometimes. And it's a painful lesson to live through. But some will turn back. Some who think they want to be among God's people will decide that those reasons we already talked about are more compelling. They don't really want to be among God's people. Some will think they want to serve God, but they'll find something they want to do that they can't read about in here. Or something they don't want to do that we do read about in here. Maybe they'll invent a God, small g, of their own. Some version of God that's not the one we read about, and they'll go back to serve Him. But we learn that some will turn back. We see that from Ruth's sister-in-law. But not Ruth. Ruth cast her lot with the people of God. And now we get to what are probably the most well-known, most famous, I guess, verses from this little book probably. Verses 16 and 17. "But Ruth said, 'Do not urge me to leave you or to return from following you. For where you go, I will go. Where you lodge, I will lodge. Your people shall be my people, and your God, my God. Where you die, I will die, and there will I be buried. May the Lord do so to me and more also, if anything but death parts me from you.'" And there's a reason those verses are so well known. What a moving portrait of devotion. And what a moving portrait of devotion from this young lady to her mother-in-law. But also laced in there is a devotion to her God. She said, no, don't try to talk me out of it. I'm going to go be among your people, and your God's going to be my God. And the language there conveys itself real readily, but I say, and she's not going to let anything come between. I'll go where I have to go. I'll stay where I have to stay. I'll do what I have to do. Whatever price I have to pay to be among the people of God, don't try to talk me out of it. Again, what a powerful lesson for us. And we know that there was more to it than just this personal relationship. In fact, it was obvious to others there was more to it than just her personal relationship with Naomi. Look at chapter 2 and verse 12. Boaz making commentary on Ruth after he observed her and got to know a little bit about her. Here's what he said, chapter 2, verse 12. The Lord repay you for what you have done, and a full reward be given you by the Lord, the God of Israel, under whose wings you have come to take refuge. That's who Ruth was. She was going back to an unknown land, to some extent to an unknown people, but she knew about God. She learned about Jehovah, Yahweh, the God of Naomi and her people. As the writer said there, she had sought refuge under his wings. And now I just want you to exhale and think for a minute. Didn't it feel like that's what you did in 2020? You sought refuge under his wings. And what a comfort it is to be able to be some of his people. And no matter how crazy the problems or the reasons the world gives us to turn back may be, we're not going to do that. So we have sought refuge under his wings. You have cast your lot with the people of God. And then that brings us to verse 18. And when Naomi saw that she was determined to go with her, she said no more. Ruth was determined to go. And I want us to think about that as we stand here, for all practical purposes, on the cusp of a new year. On the cusp of 2021. We're going to talk tonight about our work together in this coming year. And we don't know what the future holds. If you thought you might have a good idea of what an average year in Bowling Green, Kentucky looks like, you quit thinking that about March 15th of last year, right? We don't know what the future holds. But tonight you can decide to cast your lot with the people of God. Tonight, no matter what the future holds, you can decide I am determined to go. And that's what I hope you will do. And that's what I hope at least some of the lessons we can learn from the very introduction here, the story of Ruth. And now as far as the invitation goes, I would ask you this. If you're out there in the audience tonight and you're not a Christian, why won't you come for refuge to the wings of God? Do what Ruth did. If you believe that Jesus is the Son of God and you understand that He came to this earth to die for your sins, what's stopping you from confessing that faith publicly? From turning away from the sin in your life and to be buried in baptism? To have your sins forgiven and to rise to become one of His people. One of His covenant people. If you've done that, as a Christian, what you think about this? Are you determined to go? Are you determined to cast your lot with God's people? And no matter where you have to go, what you have to do, what comes up next, what the next problem this world throws at us is, are you determined to go forward with God's people and serving God? And if you've slipped up along the way, something we can do to help you tonight, make correction to some public sin, let us know. But coming forward now while we stand, and while we sing.